message from last week. And by the way, that wedding was fun. It was really good. I told you guys a little bit about it last week, didn't I? I only made one mistake.
Laura was
very much there on her free will. Yeah. You know, later I thought about it, and I remembered there was one place in there where you said I do in a way that was kind of like a smile and stuff. And I just kind of picked it up that it was a little bit odd, and I realized later that's what that was. That's when I asked her the second time. That's why she acted like that. I told a pastor friend of mine via email what I did. He was busting up. He wrote back. He said, "Dude, that was great. I had the greatest laugh off that one." I've talked to other pastors, and they all have their stories about what they've done. It's pretty funny. You know, especially the male and female getting those things mixed up, you know. So who gives this woman to marry this woman? Or who gives this man, you know, they mess all that up. Which man is marrying this man? So continue with our message. And this is where it's really important to be led by the Spirit in all things, including performing weddings. No, I want to say this. I've already said it, but I'm going to say it again, maybe slightly different. There is a blessing from God awaiting all of his children. It's operating in some degree in probably every single one of his children. But there is so much more available. There's a blessing from God available to all of his children in this area of being led by him. What God wants, what our Father, our Heavenly Father wants, is to lead us in everything. In fact, when Brian said what he said, I almost wanted to say, "Hey man, you're preaching my message." And that is that, you know, I was talking to the Lord this morning about this because I've been thinking about it throughout the week. I've been, you know, making preparations, making notes. As I think about things, I write them down. As I'm reading, I get stuff from the Word. I make other notes, etc. But there's one particular area that I was struggling even up to this morning while getting ready to come to church. And that is, how exactly can I communicate the blessing of being led by the Spirit in such a way that it really puts a fire under you and me to go after it? Because, you know, it's just a basic principle of human nature. We have to have a goal. There has to be something to go for that causes us to be, what it does is engages the will. You know, the saying we've all said that when there's a will, there's what? There's a way. But you notice the first part, where there's a will, there's a way. We say that because there's such truth in that. Where there's a will, there's a way. And our will is fired up by a goal. We have to have a goal. It says that the Lord himself, the Lord was able to endure the cross. Why? Anyone know the rest of that verse? Huh? For the joy. Is that what you said? Yeah, good job. For the joy set before him. Some versions say it the other way around. For the joy set before him, he was able to endure the cross. Because of the joy that was ahead of him, he was able, it says, the Bible says right there, God himself was enabled to go through what he went through. He was able to endure the cross for or because of the joy that was set before him. And how many of you know what that joy was that was set before him? That joy was Julie. That joy was Lonnie. That joy was Brian and Brian and Brian. That joy was Roger. Literally, that was the joy that was set before him. Us. But because of that, he said, "I can do this." And he went through it. You know, in the area of physical exercise, what gets you up off your backside to finally get into the gym is something fires up your will. It may be the desire to lose that whatever. I don't want to be looking around anyone thinking I'm looking at them. 10 or 15 extra pounds or whatever that you don't want to be there. In case you want to, you know, no. If you want to lose, no. Or what even fires you up even more than that is a bigger goal. I guess, I don't know, I guess it depends on who you are, if this would be a bigger goal. Maybe you want to run a marathon. If you've ever had a goal like that, and it may be 2 months from now that it's time, even if maybe you have been kind of sloughing for the last 6 months you were going to prepare, but now it's 2 months off, you're like, oh my gosh, I got 2 months to get ready for this thing, right? You're in that gym every single day, and you're doing it, and you're running on that treadmill. Whereas maybe you've gone for years previous struggling to be in the gym. Suddenly, you're there consistently every single day, and it's because you have this thing ahead of you. That literally will energize you. It's just, it's normal. It's natural. And so I'm like, I know that if I can do a good job painting the picture of what being led by the Spirit will do for your and my life, then that will engage our will to do the work, to go after it. That's what I was struggling with. Lord, how do I paint that picture? And so, you know, I was thinking, like, I've gone through different seasons of my life where I'm strongly being led by the Spirit and poorly being led by the Spirit, and strongly being led by the Spirit and poorly being led by the Spirit, and things in between. Well, there's been seasons where I was strongly led by the Spirit for a long period of time, and the fruit of it was absolutely incredible. And I was thinking, that's what I wanted to explain, that's what I wanted to describe, but I didn't really want to go into my life. I feel like I do a lot of that already. That's just because it's only my life that I've ever lived, so that's the one I share from. But I didn't want to be saying, you know, this is what happened, that what happened, because even then I thought, well, first of all, that would take a long time to really explain it, but even then it feels like I'm at a loss for words, and I was trying to think that through, and I realized a big part of it was that I couldn't necessarily, even though there are some big things I could point out, there are some business deals where the Lord spoke to me and gave me the answer to a business deal that I otherwise would not have had and would have lost the deal. There are several of those. I mean, fantastic stories, which I actually will get into those when I get into a series on teaching on finances. I'm going to bring some of those in. But there's not like hundreds of those. There's maybe a dozen of those. But it doesn't really make up the majority of the being led. And I realized as I was thinking it through, it's all the small things. It's the cumulative effect of a thousand small things that just, it adds up to an incredible life. And then Brian came up here and he started talking about, you know, it's just those small things. Yeah. But it's the small things that add up. That's what changes your life. And God, He works in a way that is so... it's very interesting. Like, I encourage people in the area of prayer, when I'm teaching on prayer, I'll say, listen, don't worry about whether you experience anything in your prayer time. Most of the time, I would venture to say, if your prayer life is like mine, you experience almost nothing. In fact, it can be somewhat laborious. There are times where my prayer time is just off the charts exciting. The majority of the time, that's not what it is. It's it takes sheer discipline to do it. Until I break through what I call the veil of the flesh. There's just that first 15 or 20 minutes that can be very difficult. And then you break through and you step into another realm. It's just awesome. But here's what I want to say. I can pray. Let's just say I pray for 30 minutes consistently every day, and I do that for a period of time. Let's just say weeks go by where I've been consistent in it. Invariably, what will happen? If I have not really noticed anything in particular in any given day of my prayer time, each one of them has been somewhat mundane. What is not mundane is my life 6 weeks down the road. It's incredible. It's like God works quietly and behind the scenes. Much of it is internal. He's working in me, and I find myself just filled with joy, and a different, my whole perspective of life has been adjusted and changed, and I'm like, wow, where I am now versus where I was just 6 weeks ago, it's incredible. Could it possibly be all those somewhat boring prayer times that I've had? And every single time, I've gone through so many of these, I don't question that at all anymore. It's not even a question. I know what's going to happen. I've experienced the fruit so many times, I know what's going to happen. It's like that. It's being led by the Spirit of God. If you and I will do what God has called us to do, it's a blessing He's called us into. If we will go after it, I'm telling you what will happen is your and my life becomes radically transformed, because you just find yourself making great decision after great decision after great decision after great decision after great decision. Pretty soon your life is what?
Great.
Great. It's just this accumulative effect, as opposed to bad decision, another bad decision, oops, another bad decision, oops, another bad decision. And then your life is bad. The difference is, what are we being led by? Are we being led by the Lord, or are we being led by either the devil or our flesh, either of which will lead us into a ditch? God will lead us on the highway of righteousness. So anyhow, all that to say this, this morning I said, Lord, still I feel like I need, and maybe I was kind of just doing it and I didn't realize I was doing it. I'm trying to paint a picture of what it will do. Lord, what can I say that will explain what being led by the Spirit will accomplish? How can I say that in a concise, succinct way that will create that goal, that joy set before you all and me, such that we will go after it? I just put that prayer up, didn't hear anything, went on, continued with getting dressed, and it was probably about 4 minutes later, I was putting on my shirt, a Spirit of the Lord dropped the verse in my spirit, and it was simply this: for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And it just went on, went, wow! That's exactly it. I mean, that's exactly what that scripture is saying. I went, Lord, oh my gosh, it's the very definition of what'll happen. The fruit of the Spirit. That's what that verse is describing. When we're being led by the Spirit, the fruit, the results of the Spirit is, and that's why I was like, Lord, you know, all these things, I know what happens, it's all these little cumulative effects, but my life ends up being great. What happens is your life is just filled with love, filled with joy, overflowing with peace. You don't have the anxiety anymore. You don't have the depression anymore. You don't have the struggle in your relationships anymore. Your relationships are blessed. Your business is blessed. Your finances are blessed. Everything about your life is blessed. You have self-control like you've never had before. You have patience like you've never had before. You have faith like you've never had before. It literally will light your faith on fire. Because you know what happens? Wow, I was in the gas station and I felt like the Lord said to do such and such, and I did, and then what happened with that person? Oh my gosh! And then I was going to church, but as I was driving to church, I felt like the Lord said this, you know, it was an unction, and I did that, and the fruit of that was incredible. And then I was doing this, and then last Thursday I was doing that, and last Tuesday I was doing that, and then, you know, and you know what happens with all those things? When all those things are happening and you're in my life, your faith goes through the ceiling. You realize God is alive and well because you've seen His hand over and over and over. It's no more, you don't feel this distance from God anymore because He's right here. He just did something this morning and yesterday and last Tuesday and last Thursday, you know. And all these things start to build up and you end up in this tight, close relationship with the Lord that you're walking with Him. It's like you're like two dolphins in the ocean swimming together, and it's just beautiful harmony of you and the Lord, man. You're just like, whoo! You literally get into the flow of the Spirit. It's when you're away from that and you haven't been sensing that, that you find yourself struggling with faith. You're like, you know, I can hardly remember the last time I had a prayer answered. I can't remember the last time the Lord said something to me. Am I even connected with God? And there's a struggle. Being led by the Spirit puts you in the flow. Now, what I want to encourage you with, and I say encourage you because there's a work involved to get there. And I say encourage because I don't want you to be discouraged when you find like, hey, this takes a little bit of work. I must not be doing it right. No, I want to encourage you. You're doing it right. It takes, there's a labor. There's a labor involved in getting into the flow. Just like when you first want to, you know, swim, when you get into the water, you start off just, you know, dead weight, right? And you've got to kind of like start put some effort in to get something going. But after a while, you kind of get treaded, and you can actually kind of turn around, do the backstroke, whew, you know, turn back around, freestyle it, you know, a little breaststroke in there. You get the flow. It's just like a boat, man. When you start rowing, it's a lot of work to get that thing rowing. But once it's going, you just a nice even stride, man. You just keep on rolling. It's like that. There's a labor to get involved in walking in the Spirit. Once you get flowing, it gets easier and easier and easier. The way of the righteous winds upward, Proverbs says. You know what that's saying? There is a gravitational pull. I don't know if that's the right word, because gravitational wouldn't be coming from the bottom. There's a vacuum sucking you and me from the earth. It's the vacuum of evil that's in the earth. And as long as we're riding close to the earth, it's hard. It's hard. Every day you're struggling against the flesh. But what happens is the highway of the righteous winds upward. And the further you get up, the less pull this has on you. This is real. This isn't just an analogy. This is real. There's far less of a pull from the earth, and there's far more of a pull from heaven. And you find yourself literally flowing like the two dolphins in the ocean with the Lord. You're flowing with him. It gets so easy to flow with him. It takes a sideways hit from the enemy. I mean, it's much harder on him to try and get you out of that flow than it was earlier when it was just one little trick here, one little slip up there, puts a little stumbling block there. That doesn't work anymore. Now it takes a scheming, it takes a working, it takes a hit, and every time it doesn't mean you'll fall off. You can take a hit and go, I know what that is, man. But usually what will happen is before the hit comes, the Lord will say, go left, you just miss it. He'll say, duck, right over your head. Literally, that's what happens. That's where God wants us to be. Where it says the Spirit of truth will lead you into all truth and what? Anyone know the rest of that? Show you things to come. Okay. Yes. Yeah, that one. He will lead us into all truth and show us things to come. You know what that means? He'll tell you about them before they happen. He will show you things to come. The address on that would be right page, right column, halfway down. Now, I believe that is John 16:13 or 13:16 or something like that. That would be John. Here's where I'm going to speak, and we'll tell you things to come. John 16:13. John 16:13. So, with that, that was my... What is that, a prelude? My intro. So now, let us begin. First, I'm just going to do a quick review of what we talked about last week. Number one, your faith will never rise above your knowledge of His will. You cannot flow in faith beyond that which you understand to be the will of God. It's impossible. Just know that. Your faith will never rise above your knowledge of God's will. What's another way you can say that? Your faith will never rise above your knowledge of what? God's word. It's an interchangeable sentence right there. They're one and the same. Your spiritual life will either be under condemnation or it will be in liberty, or some combination thereof, based on your knowledge of His will, your knowledge of His word. Your physical life will either be in sickness or in health, or some degree in between those two, based on your revelation knowledge of His will. If you believe His will is that you would be sick at times, because He uses that as a teaching tool in life, you will be in sickness on a regular basis. If you believe with all of your heart that His will is that you would be walking in divine health, you will walk in that. Same is true in every area of your life, your financial life, your marriage, your children, your friends, your work, etc. So, what is God's will regarding how we are to walk in this world? God's will is that you and I would walk by or according to your spirit and not your soul or your flesh. When I talk about walking by the Spirit, you know, one thing that is a great help to understand what exactly does it mean to be walking by the Spirit. Now, I would encourage you to listen right now. I'm about to give you a major key in understanding what it means to walk by the Spirit. How many of you are awake? Nice. Most of you. Good to know. No, just teasing. Here's what it means to walk by the Spirit. This is just one way to understand it. I'm going to talk about several ways so that just the picture gets clear and it's like a puzzle. Putting pieces in there, and each piece just makes it that much clearer. This is a big piece. Oftentimes in the Scripture, when it talks about walking in the Spirit, it'll say, and not in the flesh. Right? If you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Romans 8. 13, good job. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And many, many more scriptures do this. Listen, here's a great, that there's something in that that tells us a lot. Walking in the Spirit is the opposite of walking in the flesh. I mean, that is a major piece. When you are being led by the influences of your flesh, you are doing the exact opposite of what walking in the Spirit is. You, or let's just say it this way. Maybe it's not exactly opposite. Maybe it's only 90 degrees off instead of 160. The point is, when you're walking by the dictates of the flesh, you're not walking by the dictates of the Spirit, right? So, that's a major insight. Okay, walking in the Spirit. What exactly is that? Well, now I know one thing that it is. It's not listening to the voice of my flesh, but instead listening to the voice of my Spirit. I don't know if that was helpful for you. I don't know if I did a good job explaining it, but it's a great truth nonetheless, regardless of your orator. So, okay, next one. So what must we know in order to do this? This is something we must know. Now, this may seem really simple. I talked about this last week. It is simple, but powerful nonetheless. Here's something that you must know, that you can, in fact, walk by the Spirit. You have to know that. If you really don't believe that you can, this is something that only Jesus and some of the apostles can do, you're sunk already. Your ship's already sunk. You're done. You have to get out from underneath that lie and realize that you can, in fact, walk by the Spirit. God never calls us to do something that we cannot do. So, because our faith can never rise above the knowledge of His will, our faith will never rise above our knowledge of His will, or our faith will never rise above our knowledge of His word, one and the same. Let's take a few minutes again and look at what His word has to say about this. A couple of quick verses. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that, here's the result of being delivered. When we accepted Christ, we were delivered from the law. Why? So that we could just warm up some church pews? so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit. That's the goal. Another verse. That was Romans 7:6, I think. This one is Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Notice the contrast again. Flesh, spirit, spirit, flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The very next verse says, but for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Again, flesh and spirit are in opposing positions in these verses. For as many, this is Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. God is expecting, the expectation in this verse, if you've not seen it, it's expected by God, all of his children are being led by the Spirit. He's saying, the children of God, it would be real obvious, those are the ones that I'm leading. They're being led by me. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Galatians 5:5 says, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. By faith, I bolted by faith because this whole thing is done by faith. You need to understand we operate in this by faith. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That was Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. The point, I'm not teaching on each one of these verses, I just want you to see consistent how throughout the New Testament it says being led by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You say, well, where's the led by the Spirit? This is it. If you crucify the flesh with its passions and desires, you'll find yourself being led by the Spirit. This is the other side of the coin. Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. You know, right now, I've just got the Spirit to slap all over me. I just want to slap you, right? That's the desires of the flesh. We need to crucify the desires of the flesh. Did y'all think I was talking about someone here? Okay. Yeah, you know, I feel the Spirit of slap coming all over me right now. You know, you need to say, hey, that's, huh? Yeah. Brian says he gets the Spirit of dropkick coming on him sometimes. That's when you need to say, hey, that's the desire of the flesh, and I crucify it. I will not become the servant of my flesh. I present myself as a servant of Christ. That's what this verse is talking about. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Next verse. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He's saying, if Christ is in you, it tells us in Romans chapter 8 also, if Christ is in you, if you've accepted Christ, then it says the Spirit of Christ is in you. And God says, therefore, you are in the Spirit. You're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. It's the language of the Bible. It's the language of heaven. If you've accepted Christ, you are in the Spirit. Just understand that. That's what God says about those who have accepted Christ. He says, by definition, you are in the Spirit. And so this verse is saying, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So I just want you to see, it's not automatic. Just because the Spirit of God is in you doesn't mean you're walking by it. Again, I want to remind you, remember when we had the three people up here, Spirit, Soul, and Body? The Spirit wants to lead us. But it takes the soul, which is the command center, which the mind portion of the soul is the command center that has to make a decision to listen to the Spirit and not listen to the flesh. So just because the Spirit of God's on the inside of you doesn't mean you're going to be led by the Spirit. You have to do that, and I have to do that as a matter of choice. It's a decision. Another verse, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and what? Have no confidence in the flesh. Again, notice the contrast. Flesh, spirit. Look at what Paul says. For God is my witness, whom I serve. How does he serve him? With my spirit. Listen to this. You and I have the opportunity to serve God, but there's only one way we can serve God. If we really want to serve God, there's only one way. We must serve him with our spirit. Our flesh doesn't want to serve God. Our soul is neutral and will be driven by one or the other. But if we want to serve God, we have to make a decision to listen to our spirit, or it is impossible to serve God. Do you know that you can even worship God and not be serving him? With their lips, they worship me, but their heart is far from me, God says. He doesn't even receive it as worship. That's why Jesus said, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you and I want to serve God, how many of you really, truly want to serve God? Raise your hand. If you want to serve God, I'm telling you right now how you do it. There's only one way to do it. With your spirit. Now, I realize I still haven't given a lot of definition exactly how to do it. I'm hoping you're kind of catching on to it, but I'm going to get into the how-to at some point. Right now, what I'm trying to establish is the fact that we are called to and therefore can. You have to know that. You remember the example I gave last week? The 4-minute mile was never broken for hundreds of years. Hundreds. It was said by many sports experts that it was the impossible, that was the breaking point. No human being could break. I mean, they literally wrote articles on explaining the anatomy of the body and et cetera, why no man has ever broken it, and it can't be broken. Thank goodness there was one man who decided, I'm not buying into that. I don't know all of his background, where he got this idea from that he could break through that by imagination, but he took the power of imagination, he harnessed it concerning this particular issue. And he said he pictured himself every single day breaking the 4-minute mile. He also did the work for it. He exercised, he ran, etc. But he said for 1 year, he concentrated for 1 year. Every single day, he imagined himself breaking the 4-minute mile. He believed he could do it in his mind. He just believed it. I can do it. He pictured himself doing it every single day. And in 1954, Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. In 1955, guess what? Someone else did. Well, that's amazing. That's coincidental. Hundreds of years, no one could do it. If this is 100 years, 200 years, is this long. 1954, Roger Bannister broke it. Right there. 1955, someone else did. Why? Is that coincidence? Has nothing to do with coincidence. Roger Bannister broke the mental barrier that it cannot be done. And someone else said, wow, if he can do it, I can do it. And he broke it. The next year, someone else broke it, someone else broke it, someone else broke it, someone else broke it, someone else broke it. 14 people broke it the next year. Today, it's routine. You need to know you can walk by the Spirit. If you believe you can't, you're right. If you believe you can't or you believe you can, you're both right. You have to know it. And really, it's not that difficult. This isn't like breaking the 4-minute mile. I mean, this is really quite doable for every one of his children. You all and I all have been led by the Spirit here and there. I'm talking about making it a daily lifestyle, wonderful life. Living in the Spirit, serving God by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, enjoying the fruits thereof. All right? So that's, I'm just wanting to break that barrier in your mind to realize I need to stop thinking that I cannot do this. 100% I can. God's told me over and over and over and over in the scripture, do it. Walk by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. Oh, okay, I guess I can walk by the Spirit. Yeah, in fact, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are my children. Oh, wow, okay, I guess that would include me. I should be about this, all right? So now, with that, let me step into this a little bit more. I want to talk to you about why, a little bit more about why you can. Number one, the number one reason why you can, and someday I'm going to actually teach on this chapter because it is so powerful. Romans chapter 6, for the sake of time, I'm just going to tell you what Romans chapter 6 says instead of really teaching on it. Romans chapter 6 will tell you that you no longer have a sin nature. Now, I know that a lot of Christian teachers still today talk in terms of you having a sin nature. They talk about this dual nature. I understand why they say that, but what they're basing it on is experience. They're not basing it on the scriptures. The scriptures do not say that. In fact, they adamantly oppose that whole concept. Romans chapter 6 says, you have died. You died with Christ. You were buried with him. The old man no longer lives. Was crucified and buried with Christ, and Christ is now who lives inside of you, and I want you to know he's not schizophrenic. Amen. Christ does not have a split personality. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is Paul's testimony, and it's every one of, it should be every one of our testimonies as well. So we all have this is another thing. I want to break through a misunderstanding or a lie from hell that is in the seed of most Christians' minds, and that is that I have a sin nature that I'm fighting against. That is not true at all. You literally have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Your nature is to live right. Your nature is to please God. Your nature is holy and righteous and pure and perfect. Amen. This is why it is natural to live by the Spirit, and it is unnatural not to. Amen. So then it raises the question, well then why don't most Christians live according to the Spirit? Are you ready for the answer? We are deceived. Period. That's simple. Deceived, deceived, deceived. Just let that sink in. I want it to just be so nasty that it just makes you want to regurgitate that up, because that's exactly what you need to do. You need to get the Spirit of Dropkick all over you. And this one would be of the Spirit, not of the flesh. And drop kick that lie from hell right out of you. Literally, it's deception that keeps us trapped in walking by the flesh. James says it this way. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Be not hearers of the word only. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. What? Deceiving yourself. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. That's the third one. That's 24. I got to get 23. All right, I got to look. It talks about, looks into the law. It's like a man, his natural face in the mirror, but it's just the very first couple words how it starts off, and I'm trying to remember. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, if you hear the word, you're hearing the word right now. If you hear the word and you're not a doer, you're like a man who looks into the mirror, after he observes himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, just another word for the word of God, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and is not a forgetful hearer, but continues therein, and is a doer of the work, this one, look at the end result, he's talking about being led by the Spirit, this one will be blessed. So if we are not doers of the word, but hearers only, we literally deceive our own heart.
That is a good word.
It is. We look into the word, oh yeah, I can walk by the Spirit. We close the word, it says, oh, the Spirit of God's on the inside of me. Oh, Romans 6 says that the old man died and was buried with Christ. It's not analogous, it's saying literally it happened. It literally happened. Your old man was crucified with Christ. It says that you were baptized into his death. Do you know what that means? You find that strange language? You were baptized into his death. That word baptism is used throughout the New Testament several different ways. It talks about being baptized with Moses in the sea, in the Red Sea. What's that? You know, it talks about being baptized in water. It talks about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It talks about being baptized into the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. All these different terminologies where baptism is used. Baptism is a Greek word. It simply means to become one with, to be submerged, enveloped, one, meshed. It's, you know, when you're baptized in water, that's why, you know, a little sprinkling on the forehead doesn't do it. Baptism, at least if you're going to be scripturally, you know, stringent, you know, correct to scripture. Baptism, you go under the water where you literally become enveloped in water. And when we were baptized into his death, it means we became one with him in death. Our death was just like his death. We became one. It says we were one with him in death. You know what that means? It's like, it doesn't mean it's like analogous. I was just kind of like, well, I'm kind of like, I was spiritually one in his death. When it says I was one with him in death, no, it means I died just like he died. It's like if I went to high school with Lonnie, it doesn't mean I was like inside of Lonnie when we went to school. It just means we went to the same school. I went to high school with Lonnie, right? You died with Christ. You experienced the same death as he did. Your death was just like his death. He died spiritually on the cross. When he took our sins upon him, it says that he died spiritually. We died spiritually, and then God took our spirit out of us, the dead spirit, which doesn't mean a spirit that ceased to exist. It means a spirit that was cut off from him. It was darkened with sin. He took it out of us and breathed his spirit inside of us. It says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is Christ, he is what? Come on, say it. A new creation. It's two Greek words, and it means new, originally formated. Original format. Originally formated. Original formation. That's actually what it says. I was trying to remember which one it was. Original formation. It means it never existed before. It's an original formation. Then they add the word new in front of it. It's a new, original formation. It means God formed Christ in you, brand new, never existed before. That's you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians also tells us that Christ and Belial cannot coexist. You cannot sup at the same dinner, it says in another verse of Scripture. All these things are saying God and the devil don't exist in you simultaneously. It's one or the other. You and I have the likeness of the devil on the inside of us. We were one with him. before we accepted Christ. When we accepted Christ, God crucified the old man and breathed his spirit on the inside of us. Ephesians 4:24 says this, put on the new man, which was created, past tense, was created in righteousness and true holiness. All right, it says put it on. What's that mean, to put it on? It means it's on the inside of you. Put it on the outside of you. You got to put it on. You got to walk in like a cloak. You put it around you, what's on the inside of you, so that it's not just hidden on the inside and you're acting out of your flesh. Put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. That's who you really are, he's saying. Walk in that. And on and on and on. There are so many verses that say this. Galatians 4:6, that God says that God sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit of Christ, or the Holy Spirit, witnesses with our spirit that we are sons of God. All these verses, I'm just trying to make one point clear. You don't have a sin nature anymore. You have a born-again, on-fire, in love with Jesus, Jesus nature. That's really who you are. You need to know that. If you're ever going to successfully walk in this, you need to realize who you really are. So you know what that means? So many times when Christians are not feeling so warm and fuzzy, but then they put on a smiley face and act warm and fuzzy, they feel like they're kind of being a hypocrite. This is a whole new way of thinking. When you understand who you are in God, you realize that it's when you don't cave to the dictates of your flesh and you act out of what you know something, who you really are. God's not depressed. God's not unhappy. God doesn't hate you or despise you or reject you. And he is who lives in me. I was crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The Spirit of God that's inside of me is identical to God himself. I walk in love. I love you. I have enormous joy in me. I have peace in me. If I'm going to act like I really am, I am going to act kind towards you. I am not going to gossip about you. I am going to hug you. I am going to tell you that I think you're precious, because that's who I really am. That's the real me. When I act unbecoming, I'm being a hypocrite. Are you with me? That's truly being a hypocrite. God would watch you and me do that, and he'd say, that's not you. That's not who I put inside of you. Why are you giving into your flesh? Well, Lord, that's just how I feel. No, that's your flesh. You're just listening to it. You're responding to your flesh. Tell your flesh to shut up. Do the proverbial drop kick of your flesh. All right? Get the spirit of slap all over you against your own flesh. And now act like who you really are. Love them. Paul says it this way, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at about verse 14, give or take a verse. I put some scriptures up. I'm not putting these scriptures up on purpose. I've been deliberating over this for months about whether this is a good thing or not. I'm not real big about putting scriptures on the screen. You know, I don't know that I'm doing y'all a service. I want you guys to get used to looking in your Bible and finding these scriptures and seeing it, because you know what? You don't have a big screen in your bedroom. And when you need to find the Word of God at home, you need to know where it is. So, you know what I mean? I don't really want to enable a debilitating habit of not finding the scriptures yourself in your Bible. So anyhow, 2 Corinthians. So I'm not 100% sure where I'm going with all that. I might do a mixed deal, whatever, but I would encourage you, if you're not already, please bring your Bibles to church. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and starting at about verse 14, Paul is addressing this whole issue of how to walk, where you're not listening to the dictates of your flesh, but rather to your spirit. And he says this, starting at verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5:14 says this, for the love of Christ constrains us. He means I'm gripped by it. That word in the Greek means to be gripped tightly, held tightly. The love of Christ constrains us because we judge thus. In other words, because we realize something. This is how we assess what's before us, right? This, we judge thus. That if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. He just confirms it. It's true. He died for all. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Are you with me so far on this? It's not real complicated, but might be like, where are we going with this? Here's where we're going with it. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one. He's saying, listen, if they've accepted Christ, they died with him. You know, the three-part being. God breathed his spirit into them. They have the spirit of God on the inside of them. Therefore, because of this fact, we judge thus, that we regard no one according to the flesh any longer. We don't judge anyone according to the flesh any longer. Okay, listen, I've got the three-part being up here, body, soul, and spirit. Now I'm getting a little bit more into the how-to, so here's how it works. Spirit, soul, and body. The soul is making a decision right now to act according to the flesh and says something that is not coming from his spirit, and it says, you know what? You're a jerk. Now here I am. You know what? I don't regard you according to your flesh. Hey, Mr. Spirit. How are you, man? I know you're good. I know you love me. I know it's all good. Okay? So I don't regard this person according to their flesh. I say, I'm smarter than this. I know that they have a spirit that's perfect on the inside of them. That's the real them. Right now, they're kind of caving to the flesh. That's okay. The work of the enemy is to hook me, put an offense in me as a result of their flesh, so that I do what? I've got a spirit, a soul, and a body. He wants me to act out of my flesh. But I back up, and I say, no. Hey, I'm sorry. Whatever it was that I did that offended you, I'm sorry. I really appreciate you as my brother or my sister. And so, you know, it's all good, man. It's good. I respond out of my spirit. Even though my flesh is, you know, the spirit of slap starts to come all over me, I just say, flesh, we're not acting out of that. We're acting out of my spirit. My spirit says, I love you. Right? It's real. Doesn't matter if my flesh doesn't feel it. I know it's real. Why? Because I was listening to the pastor when he was reading the scripture that says Christ was in me. Because I read my own word when I was at home and I could see and I meditated on it and I came to the realization I really have been born again, that the Spirit of God's on the inside of me. Right? So I am real. I'm going to act out of my spirit and respond to this person. When your spouse does that one thing, you know, that one thing, your flesh, you ever see that, you guys see that movie A League of Its Own? A League of Their Own, is that what it was? I don't know, with Hanks, Tom Hanks, and he's calling that one girl over. He did that so well, man, that was good. It's kind of like that. You have to say, I recognize this response is not coming from this part of me, the real me. It's coming from this part of me. And I have a desire to serve the Lord. And if I'm going to serve the Lord, I can't respond out of this. I have to respond from here. I serve the Lord with my spirit. And my spirit says, from the word of, how do I know what the spirit says? What's the word say? The word and the spirit are one. What does the word say? I'm getting into the how-to here. The word says, I regard no one according to the flesh anymore. I can see that what you're saying is not from your spirit. But I regard you according to the real you. I know who you really are. I just love you. It's all good. Love will absorb it. Love consumes it. And just hug them. Just love them. If someone else gossips and wants to get you into gossip, you say, that's from the flesh. I will not engage my flesh. But from my spirit, I will respond, hey, you know what? That's our brother. Let's not do that. Do you have any, could you pass the cream? I want to get a little cream in my coffee. Just move the conversation on. Don't engage. You know what you just did? You served the Lord from your spirit. So this, I mean, that's just really getting into the just the basics, the practicalities of how to walk by the Spirit. You need, and I need, we need to know what does the Word say about this situation and do that. Now, here's what happens. This is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 14. This is a powerful verse of Scripture that you may not have even understood what it means, but when you get this, it is so awesome. I'm going to start with verse 12 so we get it in context. I'm going to close with this. I say that, I'm closing, so that you'll pay attention in case you were falling asleep. Wake up. All right, listen. Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. For the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now listen, this is a little bit of a rebuke, right? Paul's giving this church. He's saying, you're acting like babes. You're acting like spiritual infants. You should have been further than this in your walk with the Lord. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in what? Unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now listen, here's how a mature person walks. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, he's going to explain what he means by full age, or they're mature. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You have any idea what he's talking about? I would think you have a good indication based on what I've been teaching, if you didn't before. You know what he's saying? This is incredible what this verse is saying will happen. If I am this person over here again, and I consistently put down the voice or the dictates of my flesh and consistently draw from my spirit and act out of my spirit, my senses, my five physical senses, that's what it's talking about, gets good at flowing with the spirit, and pretty soon it becomes natural, second nature. I flow in it. And I start walking like God. It's not this struggle of at first when you start off, when you really determine you're going to walk, or I determine where I'm going to walk by the Spirit, man, every time something comes up, I just want to naturally, I put that in quotations, naturally respond out of my spirit. The only reason it's natural is because I've trained myself to respond by my flesh. But if I force this idea of walking by the Spirit, every time I've got this situation that comes up, you know what? That infuriates me, what you just said right there. You know, when that comes up right there, you just get fired up. You just have to say to yourself, listen, yeah, the devil's going to jump in there and help you up, but this is real. What they did, that was rude. You know that was rude. I mean, he'll give you all the justification. Listen, you need to remind yourself of something. You have no justification. I have no justification whatsoever to do anything apart from what God would do. If I do anything different than what God would do, I make myself an enemy of Christ. I am now partnering up with God's enemy, and I'm no longer walking with God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Right? I have to make a decision. Right now, I can respond that way. I have to ask myself, that's why, you know, that is powerful. Whoever put that together about the WWJD, is that what it is? What would Jesus do? That's exactly it. What would Jesus do? If we capture ourselves, our flesh, every time, another verse that says it this way, 2 Corinthians 10:4, I think it is, that says, bringing every thought into captivity to what? The obedience of Christ. What's that mean? That means obey what he has to say about the situation. When we do that, and we act out of that instead, first of all, you know how difficult it is? It can be extremely difficult, right? You know how long it's extremely difficult? Seconds. That's why it's such a deception. It's just seconds. If you will respond out of your spirit, it is amazing. What happens? You feel life from it. Right away, you're like, wow, that felt kind of good. I felt really good. And the other person, they feel like really good about what you just said to them. And all of a sudden, it's hugs and kisses. And you're like, wow, that was awesome. It brought life to the situation. You know what the other response is? Flesh, you respond out of that. You know what happens? It brings death to the situation. There's more death. Now there's even more death. And then one more reaction. There's more death. And your relationship is piled up with death. And you're saying, God, where are you in this marriage? He says, where are you? I'm right there. I'm waiting for you to, you know, walk from out of my spirit that I put in you. You're still listening to your flesh. You think you are your flesh. You're not your flesh. You are your spirit. Act out of your spirit. If you do that, you experience the life. You do it again, you experience the life again. You do it again, you experience the life again. Next time they do something, you're like, I'm kind of getting used to this. Honey, you're right. I need to do better than that. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I love you. You still love me? I mean, you can get cute about it. It's great. It's wonderful. Because you're walking in life. Speak words of life, you know? What will happen is, as you do that over and over and over and over, it literally becomes natural. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Your own flesh becomes one with you. You become a team, and your flesh immediately picks up good and evil and responds accordingly. It says, I'll respond with good. That's evil. That response is not of me. It just, you become so sensitive to the spirit. It's just like it's just a river flow. Your spirit just flows. You're not like fighting, let's see what scripture would, what, how should I respond to this? That's how you start off. After a while, it just flows. Your spirit and your flesh become one in activity. You can't see a difference between them. Guess what you are then? You're mature in Christ. You are one with Christ. You are just like Jesus. And people will start saying that about you. Wow, you know what? She is just like Jesus. He's just like Jesus. I feel like I'm with Jesus when I'm with him. I feel like I'm with Jesus when I'm with her. That's what God's called us to walk in this. Amen. Is that a question?
Yeah.
Laid on me. The sin nature is literally your nature. It's the very being. It's your being. It's who you are. All right? You take a pig and you can dress him up, wash him, put some clothes on him, stick a bow on his head, put him in the car with you, drive down the road. You could say, this is a person now. But how many of you know that pig will still act like a pig? And as soon as he gets out of the car, he'll find the nearest mud hole. Because even though I've done a bunch of things on the outside, I haven't changed his what? Nature. That's the nature of the pig, right? So it's who you are. A pig's always going to act like a pig. A dog's going to act like a dog. Kids, a cat's going to act like a cat. It's because it's their nature. And so that's the sin nature. The flesh is the it's a part of us that when we were born of a sin, born by a sin nature, the sin nature simply, it's like it stained the flesh. Your mind was stained by the influences of a sinful nature. Your body was stained by the influences of it. Your flesh, by the way, by definition, is your soul and your body together. I should have said that from the beginning. The flesh is a combination of your soul and your body. Your physical body, your mind, your will, and your emotions. All of these were stained by the sin nature because when you were born into sin. What happens is God puts his spirit on the inside of you. He takes out the sin nature that acted like a pig, and he put his nature inside of you that acts like him. But now we have to wash the stink that was in our mind, that got into our mind and affected our will and everything. We wash that by the renewing of the Word. The Word washes us. That's what cleanses our mind from all the stain of the flesh. This is where I understand preachers say they think we have two natures. What they're confusing is the fact that your mind has been stained by the sin nature and we need to wash it.
The pig's not there anymore, you just still stink a little bit.
Yeah, it's exactly right. That's very good. The pig's not there anymore, you still stink a little bit. That's a good way to put it.
Basically, you still have habits and
yes.
Responses and stuff that come from your sin nature, but they're just feeding. It's not your sin nature anymore. It's dead.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. That's why I say, well, so why do we still, when I say it's not natural that you would walk by your flesh, it's natural to walk by the Spirit and unnatural not to. Well, then why don't we? I say because we're deceived. You believe because of the staining in your body and your mind. You think, well, this is just who I am. You don't realize, no, the force that created all that has been, it's been taken out of me. It's not there anymore. Now there's another force on the inside of me that needs to influence. I need to give it permission to influence my thinking. As an act of my will, I give it permission to influence my thinking. And as a result, I will literally get washed. Jesus, it says in Ephesians, is, what's he doing? It says that husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it. It's talking about Christ taking care of the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The Word is the water of the Spirit that washes us and cleanses us from every spot and wrinkle that was put into us through the sin nature. Did you guys ever have like a Play-Doh machine where you put Play-Doh in the top of this thing and you turn this crank, I can't remember how it works, and it comes out and creates shapes? You know? So you got that, right? Well, if you put red through it and red and red, red, you know, you get all this, you got all that red residue. After you do your last deal, you got the red residue all over stuff or whatever, right? And it's in the pipe still and everything else. Well, if you took green and start putting that in there, you're going to get initially some red and some green coming out, right? But if you just keep doing it and keep doing it, and only put green and only put green, pretty soon all you have is green. In the same way, the nature of God's on the inside of us, but we are still operating with all the residue of the red, the stink from the pig is still there, and we need to give place to the Spirit of God, and the enemy keeps putting red. He keeps shoving more red into us. We need to say no to that, no to our flesh, and say, only by the Spirit will I walk, only by the Spirit. And it will literally wash out the red, and you will be flowing by the Spirit of God. This is what Hebrews is talking about. It says, if those who are mature, or those who by reason of use, they're using the green only, using the green only, using the green only, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It means their five physical senses now are operating just like their spirit man. So the flesh is simply a part of us that's been stained by the old nature. The Spirit of God on the inside of us wants to flow through us and will begin to change the habit of the flesh. And the flesh literally starts to walk naturally by the Spirit of God, instead of naturally by the dictates of the flesh. Does that make sense? Muy bien.
Good question.
Yeah, great question. All right, let's pray. I put on here on the bottom of my notes, which I wasn't reading, when I said we are deceived, here's a definition of how exactly we're deceived. It's when we reason. It's when we use our reasoning contrary to the Word. I'm in this situation. They acted a certain way. I want to respond a certain way. And I reason about my reaction in a way that's contrary to the Word. I'm deceived. I think I'm right in how I'm going to act because they did such and such and I don't deserve that and blah. I'm reasoning, but contrary to what the Word would say. We're deceived. Father God, thank you so much for your Word, which is here to liberate us, set us free, and cause us to ride on the high places of the earth, that we might experience all that you have for us. Oh Lord, I pray that you would encourage all of our hearts to step into this and to say yes to walking by the Spirit, that our lives would be transformed. I'll remind you, my brothers and sisters, this is what it tells us in Hebrews, or Romans, I mean, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. It's our mind being renewed to the Word, and we say, I'm going to do what the Word says in this situation every single time. And as a result, we get transformed. We get the stink of sin nature off of us, and we start flowing in the Spirit. And as a result, the end result is we prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, instead of the will of the devil anymore. Father, thank you for your Word, which is here to wash us, cleanse us, and set us high upon the mountains of this earth, that we would be a witness to the world and draw them. Our witness will draw them to Christ. Father, enable us. In our hearts, you have enabled us by your Spirit and by your Word. I pray that you would just encourage our hearts, Father, to walk in this by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, may this Word be sealed and bring forth a hundredfold fruit in our lives right now in the name of Jesus. I pray the blessing of the Lord over every one of you throughout this week. Lord, bless them, I pray, in a mighty way this week in the name of Jesus. Amen.